This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Big news from Paris as firefighters try to salvage the Notre Dame Cathedral. Whoa. Crazy, crazy, crazy to see the fire destruction earlier in the day. I am broadcasting from Savannah, Georgia, and everywhere in the hotel by the river, and really everywhere I looked today, everybody was talking about Notre Dame or Notre Dame, and they were in shock, frankly, about seeing the fire. And you think of the history, and of course the authorities there are looking for answers after this devastating fire. It's iconic, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. If you've never been there, it's housed some of the most incredible artworks in all of history. French President Emmanuel Macron promised to rebuild the 12th century cathedral. It's certainly one of the most recognizable buildings in all of Paris, and religious leaders around the world shared lots of stories of resilience of places of worship. And not everything was lost in Notre Dame. The religious statues that were, of course, on top of this iconic cathedral were recently removed, that's luck, as part of their $6.8 million renovation of that, what they call the towering spire that fell to the ground, crashed in Monday's fire. Some of the most sacred artifacts housed at the cathedral were safe, which is the good news, but certainly there was lots and lots of destruction, and you could hear that resounding theme through social media as people were tweeting out pictures of themselves in Notre Dame and how they had just been there and all that kind of stuff. So a big shocker as this fire raged on, and you've got some of the world's greatest treasures. And this is an incredibly iconic landmark, and some of the most greatest talents of all in the art world certainly had notoriety from what was in Notre Dame. So it is a big shock. And as I mentioned here on the show, we talk about what's buzzing in your backyard and mine. And I don't care if you're listening to me in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or in the middle of New Jersey somewhere. Yeah, people know that Notre Dame was on fire today because it was the big story and it was what everybody was talking about. I mentioned that I'm in Savannah, Georgia, and I have to say, this is the first time that I've been to Savannah, and what a treat it is. I spent some time actually walking by the river and realizing what a big port Savannah is, and seeing some of the giant tankers, frankly, that were coming through the area. And I it's not that I had no idea, I guess, but I didn't realize, because in my mind, I think of some of the big port areas. I think of Los Angeles. I think of eastern seaboard areas. And of course, this isn't in the east, the southeast, but it was pretty impressive, frankly, to walk around some of the cobblestone areas of Savannah and see some of the history, the short time that I had to actually do that in between speaking and, of course, broadcasting to you. But once again, I'm going to say put this on your list somewhere to see Savannah. Meanwhile, the whole college scam, which has many of you just enamored with the craziness of that, Lori Loughlin plans to fight the charges against her in the college admissions bribery case. She's getting a lot of the brunt of this with the jokes, etc., because she was the recognizable actress from the series Full House, and her fashion designer husband, Massimino Giulinulli, both of them filed federal court documents saying they were waiving their right to appear in court for an arraignment and pled not guilty. So his attorneys are saying, yeah, they're pleading not guilty. Last week, she, Loughlin, and her husband and other parents, of course, were charged in the cheating scheme. They were indicted on an additional felony count of money laundering, which is brutal. And on top of the mail fraud and honest services fraud counts, they call them, they were charged with last month. That's a big deal. You get charged with, you know, money laundering and then mail fraud. Boy, they can just absolutely nail you for that. So it's interesting that the couple hasn't commented publicly and that they're pleading not guilty, which is a big contrast to the other actress, Felicity Huffman, and a dozen of other parents who agreed to plead guilty last week, and they avoided the additional charge of money laundering and the possibility of conviction at trial. So how does this end up for them, especially the amount of money that they paid? It'll be interesting to watch the bouncing ball, I mean, honestly, on what ends up happening to them. But once again, if you just tuned in, I'm recapping Notre Dame ravaged, but some of the worst was spared in that iconic cathedral. And it is under control, by the way, the fire, but it was on fire for several hours, and the images were really crazy to see, and it's the first thing that you thought. Oh my gosh, Notre Dame on fire. What could be lost in that incredible, incredible cathedral that people go and see and seek out, just like the Eiffel Tower. So a lot of the relics are believed to be okay, but of course there has to be an inventory taken and they'll have to pour through all of that, so you can't say for sure. I mean, Macron, like I mentioned, is saying they will rebuild. How about this? The Justice Department expects to make special counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russian investigation public on Thursday morning. So Thursday morning, we'll be talking about it more on the show. But that's big news because people have been waiting for when is the date, what's going to be released. It's a redacted report. It's going to be sent to Congress and also made available to the public. So how about that? We'll be able to get a copy of it. We'll be talking about it, of course, on the air on Thursday. As we all know, Mueller wrapped up his investigation late last month, finally, after how long, and submitted the confidential report to the Attorney General Barr. 2 days later, the AG sent Congress a 4-page letter that detailed Mueller's principal conclusions. And in his letter, Barr said that the special counsel didn't find, and this was the big thorn for the Democrats, a criminal conspiracy between Russia and Trump associates during the campaign, but Mueller did not reach a definitive conclusion on whether Trump obstructed justice. So that still was hanging out there, and that was something that the Democrats seized. The Democrats immediately called for Mueller to testify. And for his report, of course, to be released, well, it's going to be released with a redacted portion of it on Thursday. So this is pretty big because at least we'll be able to look at it and kind of glean something, I would believe, out of the report. But I think we're going to see more redactions than anything else. And for 2 years, this, of course, has, I don't want to say captivated us, but has held us hostage. And never forget, I mean, we're the taxpayers, so, hey, we need to see this. We've paid for this. All right, if you're a fan of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I'm going to throw this out right at the top. Georgia Engel, Mary Tyler Moore Show star, dead at the age of 70. We don't talk about celebrities very much, but she was Georgette Baxter on that show that was, I think, kind of iconic. And she died Friday in Princeton, New Jersey, again at the age of 70. Years old. Cause of death not known. She was pretty funny on that show. I was just a kid when the show was around, but I can remember watching it. I remember thinking that she was rather funny. So rip to Georgia Engel, who played Georgette Baxter on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Hang with us. We're going to the mailbox next.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP
is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Don't you think you've done enough? Oh, don't you think you've got enough?
Hey everybody, as promised, let's dive into the mailbag. Lots of emails about Notre Dame and whether you've been to the cathedral or not. Let's go to this one. This one is from Tom, and Tom says, Kate, wow, Notre Dame on fire. I was watching it today. I was fascinated by it. I've never been there, but it's funny. I've had it on a list of if I go to Paris, it's a place that I would want to see, and it was crazy to see the spire of the place fall down, and there was so much conversation about it, and people were remembering trips that they had taken. So what is your take on Notre Dame? Well, exactly your take, that, you know, there's so many iconic photos of Notre Dame, and it is one of those places. I mean, list 10 places: Statue of Liberty, Eiffel Tower, Grand Canyon. I mean, if I kind of traversed across the world, what would be places that would pop up in my mind easily? And Notre Dame would be one of them. And they say the entire wooden interior of the cathedral has been lost. And, you know, I got to tell you, I have never been to Notre Dame. Or I shouldn't say that. I've been there, but I have never really done the whole Notre Dame experience. So I think I missed some of it. You think of the medieval roof structure, that's lost. That's big when you think of time, because the frame would date back to 2020. If you go to the website about the church, and I did, that's what you would find out. So the high vaulted ceilings, the wood that was cut down, the trees that were cut down between 1160 and 1170, and some of the older parts of the church. So that's pretty darn sad, I think. The, you know, workers were clearing out areas of Notre Dame for this project that they're doing, and what the carpenters needed, and I'll tell you, so certainly there were parts of Notre Dame that are irreplaceable that were lost. And of course, anybody who was planning on going there this summer, I would assume that for fire damages, who knows how long it's going to be closed. So the specifics of what kind of relics were lost, a lot of that we won't know. All right, how about this one? This one comes to us from Jake, and Jake says, Kate, do you think that Donald Trump will ever release his tax returns? Isn't it interesting that Bernie Sanders released his? Well, Bernie Sanders, I'm not surprised, because he's done that before. So he released 10 years of it, and he showed his 2016 presidential run, pushed him into a wealthy tax bracket because he had name recognition and notoriety. So that was pretty interesting, but Bernie Sanders is far different from Donald Trump in entanglements with business, etc. And the answer to the question of Donald Trump and releasing taxes, no. I don't think he releases them. He didn't have to do them before, and he didn't release them, so why would he do them now? And it would make no sense. So, yeah, I'm here to tell you that he's not going to release his tax returns. That's not happening. By the way, Sanders reported a total 2018 family income of $566,421,000, $382,000 plus came from writing and royalties. So see, it's true that that did make him famous. You know, the Vermont Independent always makes his records, you know, out there. He always makes them public. So I'm not shocked by it because he doesn't have anything to lose. I mean, he became a millionaire and it shows it in his tax returns and, you know, that's that. But it's far different from Donald Trump. So yes, again, the answer to Trump releasing tax returns, I don't think so. And how about this one? This one is from Judah, who says, Kate, you always talk about sports, and I was dying to hear your take on Tiger Woods winning the Masters. We don't have to wait anymore. Huge that Tiger Woods won the Masters. Are you kidding? He hasn't won since 2005. It's his fifth Masters. It's his 15th major. He was trailing, and he was very, very close. Nevertheless, excuse me, he came through in the end, and it was a big moment for Tiger Woods, an epic moment for Tiger Woods. And I thought what was cool is his kids were there, and you could see his son was so excited that he won the Masters. And I don't know, to me, that was kind of the cool moment. So 15th victory major and his fifth Masters is something to celebrate. He made some great shots. He kept himself in there, especially in the third round. He's had all these injuries, multiple knee rebuilds, back problems. Who would have thought? What an epic, epic, epic Sunday at Augusta, and a huge moment without a doubt for the world of sports. So somebody put it in perspective for me today. They said, did you know it's been 4,000 days since the last major win for Tiger Woods? And I would say I did not know it was that number, but that's an incredible, incredible, incredible number. All right, this one comes to us from Terry, who says, this has piqued my curiosity. Sarah Sanders, who did an interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday and talked about the president and releasing his tax returns. Did you happen to see it? I did. I caught a rerun of it, and she said, this is what she said basically. She said it's all about political partisanship and that it's dangerous and it's a dangerous road. And she said that she didn't think Congress, particularly this group of congressmen and women, are smart enough to look through the thousands of pages that I would assume that President Trump's taxes would be. That's what she said to Chris Wallace. And she went on to say, my guess is most of them don't do their own taxes. I certainly don't trust them to look through the decades of success that the president has and determine anything. So, you know, I'll go back to the same thing. Again, it's not surprising that he hasn't released his taxes, and he's not going to release his taxes. So it can be talked about again and again and again and again and again and again and again. But nothing, I'm sorry, nothing is going to change there. I would be very stunned. If there would be five things I could say that I think won't happen in my lifetime, that would be one of them. Seriously, if you were asking me to put that on a list, I would put that on a list. I mean, that's what I would say. All right, how about this one? This one comes to us from Joseph, and Joseph says, Kate, I know you follow Alibaba and Jack Ma. I've heard you talk about investing before. Did you happen to see Jack Ma say that he is for China's 12-hour a day, 6-day a week work culture? Ugh, I would not want to live in China. They're working themselves to death. That's ridiculous. I think all of us work too much as it is. That's just another reason why I would never want to live in China. You know, it's funny. Not funny, but what he said was, he's one of China's richest men, and he's criticized for endorsing this controversial culture, basically. And he's the founder of Alibaba, and he's spoken out a lot on social media in talking about that, and he says it's a practice known as 996, and he completely believes in it. The number refers to working from 9 to 9, 6 days a week, and it's common among the big technology companies and startups that if you work for them, you may reap the rewards of the money, but you're going to be 996. Ugh, even the thought of that kind of, that forced labor, like you're 996, makes my skin kind of crawl. Where you'd be forced to, what do? Get a couple of, do a couple of jumping jacks, eat a sandwich on your back at your desk? Wow. And, I mean, this is his thing. I mean, this is what he says. But a lot of people in China are criticizing it. Saying it's ridiculous, but Ma says he's advocating hard work and commitment, and it doesn't mean forcing overtime, but, you know, this is what you do. He said he didn't intend to defend the practice of working long hours, but wanted to pay tribute to employees who did. So the 996, and look, Ma's China's best-known entrepreneur. He was famously born into a ridiculously poor family. He didn't succeed academically at all. He started Alibaba using cash that he scraped together from friends, and this is the kind of guy he is. And that's the long days and all of that he put in, of course, paid off for him. So he believes that that's what the culture should be across the board if you're talking about entrepreneurs, that he saw the way it is, that long work days are, you know, pay off. But I don't know. To me, in America, 996 would be bad, bad, bad. And it would be mega, mega burnout. That's what I have to say. Anyway, if you want to send me your thoughts on anything, as you just saw, we had a great sampling from lots of different people. Thank you for that. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com, and click on contact. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Senator Bernie Sanders has pushed for a 52% wealth tax on the nation's richest individuals. At a Fox News town hall in Pennsylvania Monday, co-host Martha McCallum asked the Democratic presidential hopeful why he doesn't volunteer to pay that tax since he's a millionaire. Bernie refused to answer.
So would you be willing to pay 52% on the money that you made? You can volunteer. You can send a check.
Well, you can volunteer, too. We have a...
But you suggested everybody in your bracket should do.
And Martha, why don't you give? You make more money than I do.
Well, I didn't suggest a wealth tax.
According to the tax returns Sanders released, he and his wife paid a 26% effective tax rate on $561,000 in income in 2018. They made more than $1 million in both 2016 and 2017. Actress Lori Loughlin and her husband have pleaded not guilty to two conspiracy charges in the college admissions scandal, according to federal court filings. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. The Kentucky Derby is the pinnacle of horse racing. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to witness the Kentucky Derby in person. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000. Use it to purchase your dream home or pay off your mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com. The fashion, the mint juleps, the parties. This is your opportunity to experience it all firsthand, thanks to the Rocket Mortgage Home Stretch Sweepstakes. Enter for your chance to win $250,000 and one of 20 VIP trips to the Kentucky Derby. The Rocket Mortgage Home Stretch Sweepstakes. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Homestretchsweepstakes.com. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Ken McCarver on the show. The book is called The Sabbath, A Journey of Discovery. And boy, we could probably fill up 4 hours talking about this, but let's not waste any of our precious minutes. Let's get right to Ken. Ken, the book really encompasses so much, as I said, and you can tell it is a personal journey. There's no doubt about that. What was it that drew you to putting the book together? What made you want to write this?
Well, it was a personal endeavor. You know, there's been so much controversy about this, but at the same time, for the majority of believers, it's been settled in their mind for, you know, 1900 years that it's, you know, it's not what the scripture had said it was. You know, it's been changed. It's been perceived in different levels. And for me, I had to know what's right here, you know, what's truth. And I went searching, and what I found, it actually kind of shocked me, kind of scared me at the same time, because I realized the way I had been taught, the way I had been shown through my walk of faith was, it just wasn't lining up with Scripture. And so that's the beginning of it.
Yeah, and you say not lining up with Scripture. It's so interesting because you tackled these really, as you say, these huge, huge areas that have been written about for so long. and are compelling and go against what some people know or believe are the doctrines and the teaching of men that are right there in front of their face. But you really peel down the layers of the doctrines and the teaching and what contemporary Christianity, I guess is a good way to say it, is. And what did you find of everything that you came across, what was the most surprising to you?
The resurrection. And the facts about it. You know, the timeline, the actual date of it. It's pretty involved. I've included a chart to walk, you know, I tried to put this together in a manner to where I could take the reader by the hand and walk them through this so that they could see it. Try not to keep it from getting too involved, but at the same time, being able to, like you say, peel back, you know, and reveal. You know, deception, most people will say, yeah, there's deception and there's corruption in the church and stuff, but I don't think they realize how deep it is, how long it's been involved. It goes right back to the conception of the church in the first century. You know, there was opposing forces that got right in there and just tried to alter it and change it. And we know where that's from. But, you know, truth has to prevail. It has to.
And when you came through the end of the journey, did you feel good about it? Did you feel like you really set out to do what you wanted to do?
I did. Yes. You know, I set out to reach a point in my own mind that, okay, this is what I can settle on. This is what I can receive, you know. And I reached that point. In fact, I went past that point. I remember a point of just telling my wife after I'd gone through my piling of notes and research and sharing it with her and telling her, you know, other people need to see this. This can't be just for me. This people need to see the reality of this. It's not being taught. I was not being shown this. I was not being led to this. And, you know, throughout my Christian walk, I'd always felt there was more to it. There was more depth there, but I was not being led to it. It was not being revealed to me. So, you know, I took off on my own. And, you know, we should be doing that anyway. We should be feeding ourselves as well.
Yeah, do you feel like that, it's like you say, kind of we're getting the Cliff Notes version, and when you go deeper, do you feel like that deepens your faith?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, when you know God's truth, when you see it, it just keeps taking you deeper and deeper, the draw. The more time we spend with Him in His Word, the deeper He pulls us in, draws us in. He beckons us to come deeper with Him.
Yeah. Wow. And as you started from the beginning of the journey to the end of the journey and pulling it all together, how long did that take you?
A little over 14 months.
Wow. And that's still pretty good.
Well, yeah. It was a lot of research, a lot of digging, and a lot of just revealing.
What do you think?
Exciting.
It sounds pretty exciting. What do you think the biggest, or what do you hope the biggest takeaway is, I guess, for the people who read your book?
Well, you know, I hope people will receive truth, you know. A lot of times it comes against everything they've been taught, and, you know, what's the term? Cognitive dissonance, you know, that mental stress we come up against when, you know, we're facing anything that opposes our doctrines, our faith, our belief, anything like that. It's hard to overcome it. And one thing that I've realized is one of the hardest things for, especially for believers, is to overcome tradition. You know, tradition is quite an anchor, but it has to be overcome. Truth, again, has to prevail. And I guess my biggest hope for everything is that people will want to know more. They'll want to draw closer, go deeper, know the truth, get past. You know, the Apostle Paul told us to be like the Bereans. He called them more noble, that they would, you know, eagerly listen to what he had to say, but they would go and verify what he was saying with Scripture. And I think we should all be doing that.
Wow, such a positive thought for so many that are probably in some cases wondering. You know, we, with what's going on in the world, there are a lot of people that are questioning their faith. There are a lot of people that are questioning religion, as you know, probably more than in any other modern time, don't you think?
I do. And, you know, I think, excuse me, I believe that we live in that era where, as the prophet Daniel was told that in the latter days the books would be open. And, you know, we were also told, too, that in the end times that knowledge would greatly increase. Now, we've seen that in science and aerospace, you know, all sorts of different aspects. But I believe the main crux of the whole thing is the reality, the truth, the mysteries of Scripture are being revealed to us now. And we have a choice. You know, we can either pay attention to it or not. And there's a calling going out now. And I think people need to be aware and attentive, and they should answer that.
And we're speaking with Ken McCarver. The name of the book is The Sabbath, A Journey of Discovery. I think it's one of the things that you talk about that's so compelling is you look at the history of Sunday worship. And I've had so many of these conversations with my friends and from different faiths, and some who are agnostic, some who are atheists, some who are from different slivers of Christianity. And what did you find in the history of Sunday worship?
Well, Constantine, you know, he back in what was it, the Council of Nicaea, 325, somewhere in that era.
Yeah, yeah.
He put a twist on things, and, you know, there's been other factions since then that have, you know, added their little two cents to bring us to the point to where we are today. And when you get into Scripture, you realize where we are today doesn't necessarily line up. Now, if you go back, Christ came and he set up one church. And recently I've been told that we have as many as over 2,000 different denominations in America alone. What happened?
Wow.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah, and boy, that shows you, again, man, word, discovery, exploration. I mean, and you're a serious student of the Bible, definitely, and you call yourself that. But this was a different journey, and we talked about this in the beginning and bringing it around. You say it's really strengthened your faith.
Yes.
And do you hope that and again, along the lines of people reading it, do you hope that people go on their own journey?
That's exactly it. You know, if this will jumpstart individuals to want to go deep, you know, when you look at just this one aspect, the Sabbath, and you see the differences, you see the deception, you see the corruption and the change, then you have to ask yourself, what else? Is there anything else? For me, I had to know, and I'm still, this is going to be a lifelong journey. This is not something that we accomplish in any particular given time. It's a life of growth.
I like that, a life of growth. On that note, one last one. Ken, what was the reaction of your family to your undertaking and your book?
Well, it was receptive on some hands and rejected on the others. But again, you know, it goes against tradition. It goes against what people have been taught. It, you know, it's produced some frowns, some raised eyebrows, and some applause. But, you know, you have to enter this like anything else. You have to leave your denominational viewpoints at the door and just pay attention to what, you know, is the Scripture truly truth? You know, can we accept that as our foundation? And if we can say yes to that, then we have to step back and enter this with an open mind and let's just go with what God told us.
Wow, what a perfect way to end this. Leave your denominations at the door. Wow. Ken McCarver, The Sabbath, The Journey of Discovery. You can pick it up, Amazon, etc. Good luck with the book, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Call us, boy, since
It's time to start drinking Tahibo tea. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Always fun to catch up with Michael Loftus, comedian, writer extraordinaire. He's been involved with shows like Charlie Sheen's Anger Management, The George Lopez Show, and currently Kevin Can Wait, which is America's number one sitcom. And his star is already crested and rising, so I'm surprised he could even find some time to talk to us. But Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for calling. Here's how I made it happen. I'm going to be late for work. That's what I made a decision. I would rather talk to you than show up for work on time.
I hope it's not the Kevin James deal that you get in big trouble.
It'll be Kevin. I'll walk in. He will look at his watch and go, whoa, guy, running late, huh? It'll be fine.
So doing sitcoms, and this is great and relatable to people who speak and people who perform and people trying to write, frankly, and come up with material, where do you start? How does that idea become something that ends up on TV?
Well, it's really, most of it is just drawn seriously from real life. Like the second episode of Kevin Can Wait, in our first season here, I messed up my rotator cuff a few years ago, and I've been doing physical therapy, blah, blah, blah. So I couldn't sleep the way I normally sleep. And so because I had to sleep on my other side, it, like, messed everything up. It, like, one little thing, like, messed up my whole world. And so I was talking to Kevin about that as we were talking about possible stories, and it cracked him up. He just thought that's too funny. Like, you sleep different one night, and then you see the world differently. Like, you know, you see the way other people sleep, blah, 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 blah. So we just opened that up to all the writers, and we came up with a full-blown story that Kevin is forced to sleep on the other side of his body, and he sees the world differently, and then he starts seeing plots, and his wife's trying to take over his world, and it became a very, very, very funny episode. But yeah, most of the shows that we do are somehow ripped from someone's real life.
So you would tell people that's what you need to do. You need to be very observant, right? Walk around, look at what people are doing, think about your own life.
Yeah, I really would. I mean, comedy is there. Comedy is there. Sometimes there's a whole lot of tragedy, but there's always irony. There's always hypocrisy. And you just have to start to learn to flip it, where most people see something. I mean, Seinfeld is the best example of that ever. Look at all the mundane things that were just elevated to the most important thing in the world. It's fantastic. Watch
when
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So when you first got into this, did you just have a knack for that? Did you have a knack for looking at things a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think so. I'm the youngest of five kids, big Irish Catholic family, you know, and I didn't get enough attention. Something's fundamentally wrong with me. I'm like, I think most comedians are like fundamentally broken on some level. There's something wrong with a person who gets up in front of a room with like 250 total strangers and says, I'm going to say something, and then it'd be great if you guys would laugh and give me approval. I mean, there's something, if you just looked at it from a scientific level, you'd be like, oh, what's wrong with that poor lab rat that he wants the other lab rats to like him so much? So you just kind of learn over the years, you know, how to just twist everything just a little bit.
Can somebody who's not funny become funny?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just going to take a hell of a long time. Yeah, you can muddle through the process. It's just easier to work with people who are, like, naturally funny. And that's the wonderful thing, and this is no BS. This is just straight up honest. When I was working with Charlie Sheen, say what you will about Charlie Sheen, he is naturally gifted. He has a sense of timing and a sense of whatever it is, he's got that thing where he's just funny. Kevin James has it in spades. In spades. I wrote this bit for the show where he's making, you ever had that dip out of a bread bowl? You know, you get a loaf of bread, the circuit, and you dip it out. So he digs too far, he puts in the dip, and the dip starts pouring through. And then I wrote all this other stuff he could do to try to, you know, to try to plug up the hole and blah, blah, blah. So you give him something that's relatively funny. You know, I'll give that a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Then you give it to him, who's such a naturally gifted comedian, and he just blows it up. Now all of a sudden, it's, you know, a 5 turns into an 11. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so he has that ability, like you say, but other people and people that are listening to us, they could hone that skill. Is it a thing of fear? You just have to jump in, right?
Yeah. I mean, and this is what I tell when I'm out on the road and I'm doing stand-up or whatever. People are like, oh, I'm thinking about getting into stand-up. What should I do? Start. And don't base anything off your first night. You have to commit to doing it at least 10 times. And then you can think, well, is this something that I really want to do? Is this making me happy or is it making me miserable? And if it's making you happy, then keep going. If it's making you miserable, we'll try things differently or stop doing it. Not everybody has to be a comedian.
Yeah.
But the same thing with writers. People are like, oh, I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer. Well, here, it's easy. Start writing. Boom, you're a writer. And the only way to get better is to keep writing.
Yeah, and so that's what you did too as well, right? When you sit down, because you're writing. It might be in your head, you're thinking of ideas, but you still have to flush it out on the page.
Exactly. And there's a couple trade secrets that I will keep well secret, because I'm not going to help everybody that much.
Come on, give us one. Come on, Michael.
Okay, one trade secret. Right? And this is for real. And this is something that it took me a long time to learn. When you write, go from the beginning and go to the end, right? That makes a lot of sense when you say it, when you hear it. Start at the beginning and go to the end. What a lot of people do is they start at the beginning, they get to the middle, then they go, oh, you know what? I'm going to change the beginning. And then they go all the way back and they start over again. And they never finish, they never finish, they never finish. They never complete a movie, they never complete a script, they never complete a story. You're going to do a rewrite anyway. Start from the beginning, go all the way to the end. Then go back and change your beginning and work on your rewrite. That's a huge one. That's like a $1 million gift that I just gave away. You're welcome, America.
Michael, thank you. I love that. Start at the beginning. You're right, because you know what? I have written 2 books, but I've done that. The first book took me 10 years because I did exactly what you said.
Do you know who else did that?
Who?
J.R.R. Tolkien. When he was writing Lord of the Rings, like the second most popular book, it's like right below the Bible, he kept rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it. He was doing that longhand. That's why it took so long.
Yes,
I'm a geek. I've just admitted that. I'm a Tolkien geek. I like Star Wars. I live in my mother's basement and I play video games.
That's why you're so, so funny. Is it more competitive now than ever in this field?
Yes. Yes. You would think with all the different shows and all the different cable outlets that there's always more jobs. There's always more writers and more competition. It's crazy. We looked it up. I was on a show a million years ago for NBC, and we looked it up. And it's literally, there are more jobs for brain surgeons than there are people who write comedy for television.
Wow.
I have a harder job than a brain surgeon. So really what people should say, like when they see a difficult situation, it's not like, oh, hey, guy, it's not brain surgery. No, hey, it's not sitcom writing. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. So to hit it out of the park, your trade secret works, certainly. Look for the humor every single day in sometimes what is tragedy, and just keep at it, right? Be tenacious?
Yeah. Yeah, be tenacious. And here's the wonderful thing. There are more outlets than ever. I mean, if you want to be a writer, somebody like that book, it was just a movie with Matt Damon, The Martian. That's a self-published book. That was a guy who wrote Code in Silicon Valley, and he's like, I'm going to write this book about a guy who gets stranded on Mars. And he didn't care that there had already been movies like Robinson Crusoe on Mars, and there's the movies, Cats. He just did it, and he self-published. And it got into the right hands, and it can happen. The American dream is alive and well. The great American novel is alive and well. Unfortunately, journalism is taking a big dirt nap. Journalism is dead, but we can still write fiction.
We can still write fiction. On the performance side, how do you nail it on the performance side? So like a lot of speakers listening to us, what can they do? You got any good tricks for us, a trade secret? Nerves get to you?
Yeah. Nerves get you. Unfortunately for that one, I think you just have to do it once again. You know, hey, imagine your whole audience is wearing their underwear. No, that doesn't really do it. That's just something you have to overcome. Here's what I would say. And this is another, like, huge trade secret. Get up in front of a room full of strangers and just stand there for, like, 10 seconds. 10 seconds is a very, very, very long time. Stand there for 10 seconds and don't say a word. And guess what? The world will not end. The world will not end. And their opinion of you does not matter. And it's just a giant, the more you put it off for those people who are afraid of public speaking, the more you put it off, the more powerful that monster gets and the bigger that fear is going to get. You just have to go out there and tackle it head on. And the world won't end, and everything will be fine, and everything will just continue on as normal. And you'll be like, wow, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I didn't lose control of my bladder in front of those people. I didn't vomit. I didn't, you know, take a giant poo on the stage. I'm okay. And then the next time you'll be a little bit better. And then you'll, God help you, you'll start having fun.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Please apologize to Kevin James for us, but we appreciate the fact that we could steal some time away.
Oh, it's always great. And for more information about me and my wonderful life, go to theloftistparty.com. It's the website that's taken America by storm. See, that's the other thing. If you want to be a performer, if you want to be a writer, don't be afraid to shamelessly plug your website, theloftistparty.com.
Michael,
that's probably the biggest trick.
Plug away. Michael, thank you.
Always great to talk to you.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.